Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with your host, executive editor of Newsbusters, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome to a special long weekend edition of the Newsbusters podcast. Many of our fans have been curious about how aggressively networks like MSNBC have been in framing Kyle Rittenhouse as a white supremacist or white nationalist. So we thought, let's take some time and explore some of the very worst. Let's start back on October 27 on the readout. That's where you always begin. Where Joy proclaimed of Rittenhouse.
While out on bail, Rittenhouse was captured on video at a Wisconsin bar, wearing a t-shirt that read "Free as F" and flashing the white power sign with a bunch of giddy white nationalists, as one does. It feels like their danger here is that the right isn't in sort of encoding this idea, as Paul just said, that they want to have a legal bubble around the idea that you can commit violence to get your way in a very white nationalist way.
Are we racially smearing Kyle Rittenhouse here?
Yup.
Yeah, leftists on social media pounced on photographs of Rittenhouse back in January, drinking a Coors in a bar called Pudgy's Pub. He was wearing a t-shirt that said, "Free as F." Not the image you'd want if you're the defense attorney. But he had been in jail for months. The left also claimed Rittenhouse was serenaded by men singing a song from the Disney movie Aladdin. This is apparently the inspiration for the hooligan group known as the Proud Boys. Once again, not happy news for the defense, but the prosecution just went nuts. They were filing motions saying that Kyle Rittenhouse shouldn't have alcohol and that Kyle Rittenhouse shouldn't be associating with people who sing songs from Aladdin movies. But apparently in Wisconsin, even if you're underage, 18, you can drink in a bar if you're with your mom, if you're with your parents, it's okay. So there was nothing there for them to do. But this whole scene, these photos that went around, this is exactly what you need at MSNBC for your KKK Kyle framing. Then we fast forward to the readout on November 10. Joy says,
"And then there's Judge Bruce Schrader, who has barred the prosecution from calling the people Rittenhouse killed victims. He's barred the prosecution from introducing evidence of Rittenhouse posing with the Proud Boys while flashing white supremacist signs, and denied the prosecution's request to increase Rittenhouse's bail after he failed to notify the court of his changed address, which he was required to do."
They were deeply invested in this whole idea that not only was, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse a big right-winger, so was the judge, and that the judge was always ruling in Rittenhouse's favor. This is not true. The judge also kept the criminal records of the deceased men who attacked Kyle Rittenhouse, kept those criminal records out of the jury. So it's not that every ruling the judge made was in Rittenhouse's favor. But if you watch MSNBC, that's kind of what you get. This same argument continued on The Beat with Ari Melber on November 12th with guest host Jason Johnson, the crazy nutty professor. He said,
"I don't know if Rittenhouse is a white supremacist, but when you take pictures with Proud Boys doing a neo-Nazi symbol, maybe that's something that people will think."
See how this comes up over and over? Are we racially smearing Kyle Rittenhouse again?
Yeah.
Let's just remember this was the same pack of leftists at MSNBC who thought it was incredibly racist or inflammatory or something to bring up Barack Obama's tender relationship with Weather Underground bomber Bill Ayers. Oh, they're not bringing that junk up again. That's guilt by association. That's birther McCarthyism. Or they played the same game with the reverend that married the Obamas, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, the guy who said chickens came home to roost on 9/11, that basically we white Americans deserve 9/11 for our adventurism in the Middle East. Jeremiah Wright could be a raving anti-Semite, an anti-white racist. You weren't supposed to associate Obama with him. Those associations were not to be discussed. said the race baiters at MSNBC. Then, of course, there's the typical line, the anti-Fox News channel line. On the Nicole Wallace show on October 29, Nicole was going after Tucker Carlson. She said,
Tucker Carlson doesn't just have a platform. He is the most watched host, and he is the most anti-Semitic, the most pro-white extremism, the most sort of permission structure building for Kyle Rittenhouse, for all of the sort of white violence, to go so far as to call these false flag operations. And I wonder what it says to you that that's the most popular show on the network.
So we're used to MSNBC complaining about being destroyed in the ratings by the Fox News channel. And that can't possibly be because the quality of the information is better. It just has to be because they're all violence enablers and racists. So when you connect Kyle Rittenhouse to a permission structure building for white violence, are we racially smearing Kyle Rittenhouse again?
Does a bear in the woods?
Fast forward to the verdict on November 19.
That's the first thing that occurred to me. The first thing that occurred to me after this ruling is, oh, well, okay, now it's just open season. Like, if I'm walking around and I'm a white nationalist, you know, coward little kid with an AR-15, and I see somebody drive by with a Black Lives Matter bumper sticker and I feel threatened, I can open fire. If I go by a youth group standing outside the local Target and they're chanting Black Lives Matter and I feel threatened, I can open fire.
All right, so I think when you try to say or imply that Kyle Rittenhouse is a white nationalist coward little kid, are we guilty of smearing Kyle Rittenhouse again?
Oh yeah, you betcha.
Then on we go to Paul Butler, law professor, Georgetown University.
Rittenhouse will be the poster child for reactionary white men who want to take the law in their own hands, who want to bring assault weapons to Black Lives Matter protests, and who think that violence is a legitimate form of political discourse.
Kyle Rittenhouse, reactionary white men? Sounds a little smeary, doesn't it?
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, yes.
It's always funny when they treat Rittenhouse as a child. He was 17, yes. And as a dad, I would think of him as a child or as a minor. But it's funny how, you know, when you're a 14-year-old girl and you want an abortion, you're a grown woman. Just depends on which issue we're discussing and who's being killed. Then back to Jason Johnson, who said,
Kyle Rittenhouse killed two white men protesting on behalf of Black lives and got away with it. That's the single most important thing to understand about today's ruling. By allowing him to go free and potentially commit other crimes, this jury sent the final and loudest warning to white America about the dangerous rise of white nationalist terror in this country, one I suspect will be ignored by most thought leaders, politicians, and the press. Kyle Rittenhouse was able to kill Joseph Rosenbaum and Anthony Huber and face no consequences because those men were race traitors, white men who had the audacity to protest that police shot Jacob Blake, a Black man, in the back seven times in his own car. They stood against the core conceit of white supremacy, that straight white men have dominion over everything, especially Black bodies.
Yes, this is, talk about the mind reading, that somehow that the jury was a pile of white supremacists, or that Rittenhouse here, his whole thing was, oh, he killed these two guys because they were race traitors. Just like this commentary scrubs the fact that Rittenhouse was being beaten with a skateboard. It certainly scrubs the fact that Jacob Blake was getting a knife out for the cops. All of that just gets scrubbed out. But isn't it interesting how the smear of Rittenhouse remains, right?
You're damn right.
Oh, even the so-called sober white ladies are getting in on this. I mean, we had some Nicole Wallace. Rachel Maddow, the night of the verdict.
We're going to be going live to Kenosha, Wisconsin in just a few minutes as that city continues to absorb the Rittenhouse trial verdict. And now the knock-on effect of Republicans and far-right groups, including white supremacist groups and neo-Nazis and militia groups, holding up this young man, Kyle Rittenhouse, as not just a person who was acquitted of murdering two people and shooting a third. They've made him their new hero on the right. for admittedly killing those people and getting away with it, which raises all sorts of questions about the safety of public protest in the future.
The safety of public protest? Look, first of all, you told him it was nuts to go to a riot with a gun. Well, then it's not a safe public protest, is it? These people want to have their riots cake and eat it too. That somehow they're all concerned about the safety of public protest when some white kid's going to get his head beat in. You know, maybe he shouldn't have been there, but once he's down on the ground and somebody's hitting him with a skateboard, life changes. The safety of public protest. Now, the exception to the rule here on MSNBC on the night of the verdict was on Brian Williams, Lion Brian's 11th hour show. Washington Post reporter and anti-Trump bashing author, well, she's anti-Trump and Trump bashing author, Carol Linig, she said to argue that Rittenhouse was a white supremacist was, well, that evidence was not produced. Well, thank you. Thank you for that moment of clarity. Then, of course, she noted that the white supremacist definitely rooted for him. Okay, but here's the whole problem with this Maddow approach, is that you're trying to say, oh, Rittenhouse is now the hero of neo-Nazi creeps and white supremacists. This is true, but why are we using it against him? It's just like we could say, Barack Obama, the hero of Islamist terrorists and commies. Well, they would consider that a smear, wouldn't they?
Duh, comrade.
Then there are the tweets from MSNBC guests, sometimes hosts. MSNBC weekend host, Mehdi Hasan, on the verdict. It is difficult to express in words. I'm going to put the little British accents in here. It is difficult to express in words or even via stats how messed up the U.S. justice system, quote-unquote justice, how messed up the U.S. justice system is and how riddled with double standards it is. Does anyone, even the most conservative person, really believe a black man or a Muslim like me would have been acquitted too? Well, we can guess. That is, of course, the overarching liberal prejudice on this, is to always assume a black man or a Muslim wouldn't get the same leeway. But as we've discussed, we did have the case of Andrew Coffey getting in a gun battle with police. Then they tried to get him for murder of his girlfriend because the cop shot the girlfriend. And the jury said, no, he acted in self-defense. This always gets excluded because it just doesn't help MSNBC hosts make their rants about the double standard. Double standards are quite common at MSNBC, so it's always kind of funny when they get up and lecture about that. If we are concerned about double standards, why don't we try to identify what is the single standard and how can we get to agreeing on it? For example, rioting is bad. Can we all have that single standard? It doesn't matter if whites do it, if blacks do it, if conservatives do it, if liberals do it. It's bad. Let's start there. That's not a bad place to start. Burning down a car lot or a CVS drugstore is bad, isn't it? If we burnt down a Planned Parenthood, you'd think it was bad. So would I. Okay. Then we go on to Ali Mistal. Crazy pants. He tweets, in Republican politics, shooting protesters or threatening to shoot protesters is a resume builder. Does that really require commentary? And these people talk about conservative trolling on Twitter? Does anybody think that PolitiFact or the fact checkers are going to get involved and try to evaluate the facticity of shooting protesters builds your resume in the Republican Party? Then we'll wrap with Malcolm Nance, so-called national security expert, tweeted in capital letters, it's official. Open hunting season on anyone that protests against armed white men. They have a license to kill liberals so long as they say it's self-defense. Are we losing our minds on Twitter?
Does Funicaro ride trains at night?
Yeah, I thought so. So we'll break out the Christmas trees The Christmas season has begun. Maybe we can have a little more brotherly love. We can try that. I don't know. Watching cable news or Twitter, it gets pretty hard. But come on around to Newsbusters once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks for checking this out.